The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours.
When you partner with Axon, you immediately gain access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. We carry all major brands and sizes of tires and wheels. We specialize in large diameter wheels for large equipment. We have one of the largest OEM replacement wheel inventories in North America. Known for extreme flotation setups, duals, and triples, we have wheels for all makes and models of tractors, sprayers, combines, and grain carts. If we don't have the wheel in stock, we'll custom build, sandblast, and paint in-house. There isn't a more vast inventory in North America dedicated to helping dealers move more iron. With facilities on the West Coast and in the heart of the Midwest, leverage our 230,000 square feet of indoor inventory to solve any problem a grower may have. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. You'll find us here, Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. I've got Jed Bergson up here again to talk about what's going on in the world of the equipment business. Jed, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Casey. How are you?
You know what, man? I'm doing great. It is a winter day here in Scotts Bluff, and just watching it snow, which means that we get some moisture that we like greatly. So all the good stuff that comes along with that. How are things out in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, kind of the same. We've got some moisture here the last week or so, which has been needed. It definitely changes customers' perspective.
Yeah, for sure it does. For sure. So let's talk a little bit about your background, Jed, and how you got where you're at today, where you grew up. You know, all the fun stuff you've done and what your job is with Torgerson.
Yep. So grew up, born and raised in Montana, grew up in the business, went to work for Torgerson's right out of college, started outside sales kind of when, not to date myself, but when light bars and those sorts of things were the cool trend. And then took a sales role. And I believe 2011, I took over the corporate sales manager or whatever my title is today, but I still get up and do the same thing every day.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just more responsibility now. Right.
So, yep. Yeah. So, right. Nope. Been with the, just started my 20th year. So.
Okay. Right on. Right on. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what you see happening in your area as far as equipment goes. First off, let's lay a little groundwork here. Talk about the crop mix in your area and what that looks like, and then the the primary equipment that's used in your area.
Okay. Yep. Nope. In our part of the world, it's primarily cereal grains, wheat and barley, with a fair amount of pulse crops in there as well, which has changed in the last 8 to 10 years and changed our world a bit for the better. But we're mostly a cash crop on the farming side. And then, it's, there's more cows in Montana than people. It's a huge cow calf market. So, we pretty heavy into the livestock market as well.
Right on. Okay. So you're looking at then big air seeders, big four wheel drives, probably a little bit on the row crop side, but not much, but primarily big four wheel drive, high horsepower stuff, and probably loaded tractors since you're in the cow calf area as long as you're in.
Yeah, for the most part, we've got a little bit of, there's a little bit of row crop stuff. It normally, we're a pretty good outlet for the used market because we're a little, most of the corn, the little bit of corn that we have is on 22 inch rows to match up with beets, which is also on 22. So right. But that's a pretty small part of our business, but it still exists and it's a good part of our business.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit. Okay, obviously combines are combines, right? We can kick a dead horse as much as you want to about combines, but you know where that market's at, right? It's always in, it seems like it's on the downside of just about everything this year, especially. It feels like combine values are slipping. Oddly enough, I look at auction values and they're not as far down as I thought they'd be, as far from where they were this time last year, but they're nonetheless, there is a slip there. So I guess as you're looking at the combine market, Jed, what's your thoughts there?
Well, the combine market's job security, right, Casey?
That's right. That's exactly right.
But for my side, I'm a little, the auction values have been a little bit surprising, to tag onto what you said, not off as far as I thought. I think some of the retail reporting's been overstated because it was deals that were made probably 5, 6, 7 months ago. At least that's what I'm feeling in my market. The other big change that I see is coming that might be a bigger driver than any of us really accounted for was, the X9 is definitely here, and CNH on both the New Holland and Case side have introduced a Class 11 combine, which I think is going to change the combine market. How? I guess we'll find out, and you and I can talk about that in our memoirs. But I don't know who can afford an $800,000 used combine wouldn't buy a new combine for $1 million.
Exactly, dude. Yes. Yeah, I've had that conversation so many times where a lot of those things where you're looking at some of these class 10 combine, for example, the biggest competition for that used machine is a brand new Class A combine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, so you start doing the math on that and you start looking at that, and it's no wonder I'm shocked that when you're looking at that used marketplace that there's not more of an issue than there is just because of that.
I don't think we've realized it yet.
That could be
unfortunately, I think we just kind of opened the book on it.
Right.
Where it winds up, I don't know, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting for sure.
For sure. And that's the flip side of that. And you start looking at a class 11 combines that they're out there, whether it's the X9 1100 or the new Case New Holland machines that are out there, fence got some stuff, Kloss has got some stuff. the number of acres you have to go across to make that pencil out is big. And and it's not just the combine that's expensive. If you go from even a class 9 to a class 11 combine, the amount of infrastructure that you have to have, you know, logistics and everything else change too. And that's a whole nother side of the argument that you can cuss and discuss. But when you're looking at how those things play out, that's a big driver in the marketplace, man. And just like you said, if you can buy a $800,000 one, you can sure as hell afford a $1 million one, brand new one. So it's going to be some dynamics there that I think, like you said, what segment is going to suffer the most, right? Is it the class A combine that's going to suffer? Is it class 9 combine, class 6s and 7s? I mean, where's that suffer point going to come in at? And I think that's going to be, like you said, maybe we haven't realized what the issue is actually going to be yet.
Yeah. And I mean, as you're a used equipment guru like I am, you know, you sell regardless of what the combine costs. We try to be a washout of 3, but we normally end up 4 or 5.
Right.
And how that trickle down effect changes here, it's just going to be interesting. And unfortunately, it probably, I don't know if it's the best or the worst time, but, you know, I mean, every manufacturer has taken about a 23% to 25% price increase over a class 8 to a class 8 in the last 24 to, you know, 30 months.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we show up with these class 10, class 11 combines. It's just, that's a lot for the industry to take in.
Yeah. Yep, it is. And if you go, another thing too, I think is driving some of this, if you go and read the sustainability reports from all the manufacturers, they all talk about how they're trying to build bigger machines or less machines or something like that. And these bigger machines that come into play, you know, they're offsetting 2 or 3 class A combines or something like that so that they can make the world a better place. But there's going to be a rebound in there somewhere that's going to shock something someplace, you know, whether it's what model that is that's going to be shocked. We don't know that yet, but it'll be interesting to to watch this play out over the next couple of years.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, it follows suit. I mean, like, whether or not we like it, our industry seems to be led by combines, but I'm not in the planning world, but you know, what am I going to do with a used 100-foot air drill? Like, I really have no idea
what I'm going to imagine what that looks like.
I mean, I really enjoyed selling the first one, but I have no idea what I'm going to do when it comes back.
Right. That's about as specialized as you can get, because you need something with huge open spaces that primarily are found in Montana. So that's
Montana or Western Canada.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got 700-800 horsepower tractors, and the air drill still that doesn't even have an engine costs more than the tractor pulling it. And the tractor pulling it, I think, is crazy expensive. I mean, it is what it is, but like, at the end of the day, it's an industry changing times, I think. So
yes, you're exactly right. So speaking of tractors, let's jump over to the four-wheel drive side of this. As you look at the four-wheel drive marketplace, you're starting to see more and more, four track articulated machines pop up from about every manufacturer now. I think the only one out there that doesn't have an articulated four wheel drive offering would be on the AGCO side of it. If you look at, you know, you got your Versatile's got the Delta Track, Case IH has got the Quad Track, John Deere's got the RX. I mean, so all these things are coming into play. As you look at that marketplace, what are you seeing more demand for the four track side of it than you are the wheeled side, or where is that? And then from spec wise, are you seeing more PTOs and those kind of things starting to be put on? What are you seeing out there on that side of the marketplace?
So on the configuration side, Casey, I'm seeing pretty standard in the industry with dual pumps and PTO.
Sure.
What I've as a CNH dealer struggled to capture is that, the last time I checked, I think in the green world, their market was still like 40% wheel, which I've been thinking and living that the fact that we've missed that on the CNH side, we've owned the four track, but I think there's a segment there that we haven't really had a or kind of forgot about. So it, you know, today we've trended a little bit back towards the wheel, but for the most part, it's still been the four track. And the guy that did buy a new wheel, he wants to buy the 1,000-hour four track machine the second time around or third time around.
Sure.
So, but the four wheel drive market has been, I think, thanks to production limitability with the majors, that it's stayed pretty consistent. And I don't really see, I mean, it's probably softened a little bit, but just a tick.
Yeah. Yep. And I would agree with what you're saying. From a configuration standpoint, you almost have to have dual pumps now, just the hydraulic demand on your 100-foot air seater. You know, you can't do that with a single pump machine anymore. You know, you start looking at the rates and the speeds that guys are wanting to go, the hydraulic demand anymore is just, it's through the roof on this stuff. So that PTOs as well, you've seen a lot of guys that are trying to, you know, use them for grain carts and those kind of things as well. So there's more of that out there, but you're right. I mean, the thing that kind of about the four-wheel drive market that I've found a little bit confusing right now is that not so much that the price is kind of falling off a little bit, but for as hard as it is to get an articulated four-wheel drive, whether it's wheels or tracks, especially tracks, even still today, it feels like you would think that there, with the supply that's out there, there would be a little more conversation around maybe somewhat of a premium that you could still see on these machines, but it's just not there.
No, it hasn't been, but, and I know you're a data guy, but like the TIV for North America for four-wheel drives is totally, totally different than combines, right?
I mean, right. Oh, yeah.
It's a way more consistent number. And I think that's probably why that's there.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, all right, so let's jump over now. We're looking at, I know row crop's not a big deal in your area, but you still have some run around up there. The row crop tractor market's flooded. I don't care where you're at. I mean, I'm waiting to see the day when there's the late summer auction, early fall auction, and they've got their typical 20 or 30 combines, but they're outweighed heavily by the 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 row crop tractors on the same cell. So I guess, Jed, as you look at those, what do you think your market expectation is for that? And then are you seeing any kind of row crop pressure in your area?
So for me, Casey, that's kind of a tale of two cities. And as you noted, I don't play in that much, but so I can just be the third. I can be Switzerland and just give my opinion.
Give your honest opinion. Yeah, there you go.
But you know, on the deer side, I know that dealers are heavy on 8Rs, but on the CNH side, you know, through the strike and whatever, we delivered a subpar machine. So I think as an industry, I think that might net some be zero. It won't be good for me as a CNH dealer, because I'm gonna have to go back and earn that business back. But from a use standpoint and turning iron into cash, I think it might actually accidentally correct itself.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess I never thought of it like that, but that makes sense. If you think about it, if there's a hole someplace and some of these other tractors can be filled with it, I mean, that could be like COVID all over again. Just the right thing happens at the right time type of deal. You know,
I do. Yeah. I think the stars might accidentally align.
Right. Well, that's a good way to think. I never thought about that.
I'm just an optimistic choice. Guy.
It could be your downfall there, Jed.
So it doesn't matter.
That's right. You don't care what happens. Yeah. All right. The row crop tractor side of it is a bit scary right now. If you look what's out there and you see some things happening that you're just seeing a lot of stuff that's already on the lot, and then all the stuff that's coming in behind it. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of tractors out there coming in. All right. Interest rates, probably one of the hot button issues still. It feels like there's plenty of money out there still for guys that are interested in buying stuff. I don't see anybody that's pulling back because, you know, just don't have the money right now. What I do see is guys that are pulling away from, you know, 7 or 8 or 9% interest or whatever it is they got when they've got a 2.5% interest rate on what they own. So it's the, that's where I see some of that interest rate pressure coming in. What are some of the conversations you're having about interest rates and how is that, how do you think how some of that's driving what your customers are doing?
Well, and I don't want to give away trade secrets that I think I'm.
Well, of course not.
Maybe done. Yeah. Done. You know, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right?
But, yeah. Yeah.
I think as an industry, I've seen a lot of dealers do a lot of good stuff with interest waivers. I think it's been overspent? Yeah, I do, because this guy buys a new or used combine every 3 years, but we offered him 0 for 60 just to make him sleep better at night. When, I mean, quite honestly, my conversation with plenty of people have been, they're like, well, what's the number after the 12 or 18 or 24 month waiver? And I'm like, I actually don't think that matters, because in 24 months from now, we're going to be in a different environment.
Right.
And, yeah. And we can adjust to that. Like, let's just worry about what's in front of us today. But and I think the market has accepted that quite a bit. And from what I can see, generally every OEM has supported that. So it's just a different climate than, you know, like for us, a lot of sales consultants haven't had to sell in that environment. Unfortunately, your gray hair and my gray hair, we've been here before, but a lot of guys are like, 8% interest. Mm-hmm. How the hell am I going to sell that?
Yeah.
But it's just, job security, Casey.
Yeah. That's right. It all comes back to that, doesn't it, Jeff? Job security. That's what it comes back to. Yeah. I remember when I first started doing this, I think interest rates were like 6.5% on.
I was trying to think. I think we were like 6.95 or something. And
yeah.
We had a 5.95 offering, and we thought we were going to just.
Right. And then about 4 or 5 years later, you get, you know, if you didn't have 0% for 36 months, people thought you're trying to take advantage of them. So, I mean, it was that when you're looking at interest rates that are, that we saw historically that were like 2.5-3%, those kind of things, and guys were throwing out 0 for 36 or 0 for 60 or whatever it was for an absurd amount of time, it didn't cost anything to buy that down. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of thing, it was peanuts, right?
Yeah.
But now you're looking at, I told a guy the other day, I was like, you know, 5% interest looks pretty good right now. And if you could figure that out and get it down to there, I think that's where you need to be at. You're seeing a lot of that. I've seen a lot of that pop up where there's a lot of, you know, 0% financing coming up on, especially on some used tractor stuff I've seen out there, where you see guys that are doing, just like he says, that overspent, maybe, but, you know, you got 0 for 60. And to me, in the market that we're in right now, if you're doing 0% interest, somebody should take a hard look at, if you're buying something, take a look at that inventory they've got, because they're probably going to give you some interest rates, and, you know, they're looking to wheel and deal a little bit on the amount of, on the equipment. Yeah. Because just because of what they got, the number wise, volume wise.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a little interesting for me is that I think we've been able to deliver a good financing option for the end user. Looking at a very mature industry, I'm more worried about the dealers. Because I don't know what people's average use margin is, but it's definitely down from where it was in, let's say, the 80s. And no. If you throw 7-8% floor plan interest on there, all of that margin is washed away pretty quickly.
It didn't take long.
You know, whether we like it or hate it, we just have to accept it. But the used equipment margins are just lower based on the internet, I think.
Oh, sure.
Has totally changed the world. And So those have eroded a bit. And if you throw floor plan interest on top of there, to me, I think that's going to be a total game changer that, quite honestly, people are broke and they don't know it.
Yep. Well, I also think, too, we're going to see – that's kind of goes back to my earlier statement about the number of 8Rs and those kind of things that are there. It's just the amount of I guarantee you there's a lot of dealerships out there and a lot of people taking a look at this going, all right, so I can lose 25 grand now, or I can hold on to it for 9 months and lose, you know, 45 grand with my interest costs that are associated with that. And I think there's some people out there wearing that right now that are saying, like, it's just better for me to lose the 25 now on, you know, this many machines than it is for me to hold on to it and hope for the best. I think that's that conversation is being had more than I think people want to admit.
Yeah. And I hope as an industry, I don't care what color dealer you are. Like we all exist in this together. We battle for deals, but like, you know, at the very end of the day, do we make those are tough decisions to make. And you've been in those roles. Mm-hmm. When you're half, you know, you're staring at a deal where you're going to lose 25 grand, but you're going to get 250 grand in the bank. Making that tough decision is job security, but
yeah,
you know, is it, could I wait 2 weeks and maybe not lose any money? I don't know.
Yeah. It's no different than a farmer looking at the corn price going like, ah, there's another nickel in there someplace. And then next thing you know, it's $4. So
it's the same game. So
same game. Exactly. As you look out there into 24, I know I've kind of sounded a little pessimistic on this thing, but I'm not pessimistic about 24. I just think there's the issue that we're fighting through here is it feels like we've had 2.5 years worth of inventory show up at one time that just got delivered all of a sudden. Not so much if it had been a normal cascade, you know, all the stuff in 21 got delivered like it was supposed to, and all the stuff in 22, so on and so forth, where it got delivered, we wouldn't be staring at the a mountain of equipment we see right now because, you know, we would have come in gradually. It just feels like in 23, all the stuff that was on order that didn't get delivered got delivered in you know, the second quarter and third and fourth quarters of 23. So now we're just sitting out there looking at a giant supply problem. I'm not pessimistic. I think 24 is going to be a better year than what people make it out to be. You're not going to be a gangbuster year by any means, but you know, it's going to be I think it's going to be flat to slightly up on sales, maybe. As you look across there, what are your thoughts, Jed, as you look at 24 for you guys?
I would say probably the same, Casey. You know, net farm income is what drives
sure
revenue. I think it's going to be off a touch. I think so our end user, I don't think will be in any worse condition than he was, or better or worse than he was in the last 2 or 3 years. But I think the dealer is going to be the one that is paying the bill, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does. No, I think you're right. That's an amazing way to think about it. If you think about it that way, there's going to be just more pressure on the dealer to make things move just because of the situations that we see, floor plan,
yeah, like, I mean,
inventory, those kind of things. You know?
Basically, every OEM has said, oh, yeah, it's going to be 7 to 10% off and this and that. But they also forgot that they have now delivered 120% of what.
Exactly right.
So,
yeah.
You know, exactly, like, right. At the end of the – and let's be honest, like, they've all enjoyed pretty good results. I think the first one that blinks and talks about what you and I are talking about will be the one that maybe gets a leg up.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. All right, man, final thought here, and we'll shut it down. What is the – in your specific area, if you had to say anything that was the biggest positive thing you see happening for your area? And then what's the biggest negative thing you have, you see happening just your neck there up in Montana?
So unfortunately for a positive side, we're a three branded CNH dealer. So we're Case H, New Holland, and Case Construction.
Okay.
Due to the crappy show of Yellowstone, there's a pile of people that want to move to Montana and build homes. So,
right. I hear you on that. Okay.
So our Case Construction business is excellent. I'm just a little worried about some of these interest rates and carrying costs of quite honestly, dealers from my biggest fear. And it's an odd time because interest rates are up, but it's an election year. I don't care what side of the election you're on. It's just kind of like a perfect storm brewing, and right. I don't know how to predict the weather.
Right. I know exactly what you mean there. Yeah. Yep. No, I think you're right. I mean, I would move to Montana tomorrow, not because of Yellowstone. I'm right there with you. Because of you, Jed. I want to live right next to you, and we can hang out and do all the fun stuff that the Montanans do. You know what I mean? but nonetheless, I think it's you're exactly right. You see these population areas where they're starting to kind of come in, and guys like you that are on the construction side see some stuff there. But also on the same side of that, it's how that affects the land prices and those kind of things too, for that affects farmers and those kind of things. That's the other side of the coin too. So it'll be fun to watch. So good stuff.
Yeah. Job security, Casey.
Job security. You're exactly right. All right, man. If folks want to reach out to you and get more information about what you're doing, what's the easiest way to do that?
My cell phone is 406-460-2140. You can annoy me anytime, because everybody does. And right. My email is jed.benGTSON@Torgerson, which is TORGERSON.BIZ. So
right on. Okay. So check that out. So Jed, you've been on, you've come to the Moving Iron Summit, what, a couple times now? And
I think every time, Casey.
You've come every, yeah, that's true. I guess you have.
You sent me that care package.
That's true. I keep sending it. Please come. Please come to. So you've been there a couple. You've been there. You've experienced that. What's your thoughts on that? And would you recommend people come to that?
Well, my takeaway is not just a plug for Moving Iron, but in the world that you and I go to work in every day, I think it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
And I walk away with one new connection, one new networking person, one new company that I hadn't talked to previously or knew existed. It's a total win for me. So
right. Yep, and that's what you get there. You get a lot of that networking time. That's how I built that. So I want to make sure people understand that when you come there, it's a networking first event. So you don't have to there's no check-in time or check-out time. You just make sure that you get what you need out of that when you get there. So, Jed, I appreciate you being a part of the podcast, man, and we'll look forward to seeing you this fall.
Thanks, Casey. Have a good
one. Right on. You too, man. I am Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. You can also find me on Snapchat and TikTok. Go to MovingIronLLC.com for everything Moving Iron related. And check out the YouTube channel, which is Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel. And you can see the video version of that, of this there. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with Jed Bergston. It's going to be smart, folks. The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data. It's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices.
You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. Find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.